Okay, we're holding at the two dots and not mem beis amrana. Okay, the Mishnah said, in the case of hamecham shepinahu, lo yitein letochot sonein b'shvur sheyechamu, avon notenu letocho o letoch hakos kidei lahafshiran. So we said that wasn't clear exactly what it was referring to. The Gemara ended up saying either that it's referring to taking the water out from inside, and the yitein letocho is a reference to mayim merubim, lo yitein letocho is a reference to mayim muatim. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Notin adam chamin letoch atzonin, v'lo atzonin letoch chamin. Divrei Beit Shammai. U'Beit Hillel omrim bein chamin letoch atzonin, bein tzonin letoch chamin, mutar. So Rashi learns that the question over here is a very straightforward one that relates to the old sugi we had back in Chulin as to whether tata'a gavar. Do we say that when you pour something into something else, that which is on the bottom ends up defining the heat level? There was no ger kashrut, which one was kosher, which one was a problem. Over here, the question is to determine which one is going to end up being mivashel. So therefore, Beit Shammai says, it's all very nice to mix the cold and the hot water, but you're going to have to mix the chamin letoch atzonein, not the tzonein letoch chamin. Why? Because he holds tata agavar, divrei Beit Shammai. U'Beit Hillel omrim, bein chamin letoch atzonein, bein tzonein letoch chamin, mutar. It doesn't really make any difference, but that's dafka, when do we say it doesn't make any difference? Bamedvarim amurim, because when you're talking about a cup, as opposed to a large washing vessel, a cup is used for drinking. When you're talking about a cup, there's two issues. First of all, klisheni. A cup will always be a klisheni that we're pouring into from the mecha. So a klisheni, as we saw before, not mevashel. Furthermore, if you're talking about a cup, then because your interest is to drink, as opposed to ambatya, where you're trying to take a bath, you're not interested in it getting extremely hot because you want to be able to drink it. And therefore, you don't have the problem of being mevasha. But if you would be talking about an ambati, then even Beit Hillel would be murder. That chamin letoch atzonein, v'lo tzonein letoch chamin. So in other words, according to Rashi, this is nogeya, the sugya that we had of tato or gavar, that which is being poured into is the thing which ends up finally defining the mixture.
And both hold that.
Yeah, both Beit Shammai and Beit hold that. Mashiach is how much we're matir. Tosfos doesn't like this whole approach. And, I mean, first of all, he says, so why would the Gemara assume here, both according to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, tato or gavar, and we never asked this on the man yamar hold that he lo gavar? That's outrageous. We wouldn't just assume that that's both in Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Furthermore, even if you hold that he lo gavar, either of the case, it still is going to be levashel b'tei klipa. The only question we had in Chulin was about the entire mixture. But certainly the first layer that's exposed to the heat is going to be mevashel. What's the difference? Which direction it comes in? And how is it that we're ignoring that? I mean, that's a deraisa if you're telling me that it's mevashel. That is the answer that the Rishonim offer to Rashi Shita against Tosfos. That we only say that something is mevashel technically, but in a solid, not in a liquid. That's the Ron's famous answer, which I'm sure you are familiar with, I would hope, because we've done it together. I did give you a b'china on that issue. It's in the genes, all right. It's in there somewhere, all right.
Is it considered having no edge? In other words, it has no edge.
It immediately disperses. So the mela, it spreads. instantly. Mashenkin here, it has to now move through a solid. So as it moves, the first layer is burned, is cooked. So this is the Machlokes Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, Oser. Mashma, that he's Oser, even the case of Chamin Latoch Tzonei. And Omer of Nachman, Halakhak Rav Shimon ben Menasya. Now, what exactly he was referring to isn't clear. Rav Yosef, Sefer Rav Yosef Lameima, Sefer Arehu Ka'ambati. This Sefer, by the way, is not the modern Hebrew Sefer. Doesn't refer to a little cup of tea. A sephel over here refers to a sink, basically, a basin, as we'd say in English. And this is used for washing. So there, it's the same as the ambat. Omalei Abaye. So Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef, well, the Braisa says by Rukhiya that sephel ain't a kambati. So in other words, the sephel, it's always going to be a cliche. The Ambati, we had the cases before, that since the water flows directly into the bath from the heater, so it's considered to be a Kli Rishon. As a matter of fact, we actually derive from that as a new halakha, that a Kli Rishon doesn't necessarily have to be itself on the Eish, but has to be continuously fed by the Eish. So in any event, if Rabbi Chiya was saying that a Sefel is Kambati, so then he would be answering even a klisheni, because apparently his problem is that since you're using it for washing, you're perfectly happy to heat up a lot of water. So Abaye Taina to him, no. Actually, Rav Chiya said that even when it comes to washing, a klisheni is something that we're not matzin on. So let me get this straight. You're telling me that according to Rav Yosef, L'mayda Soleka Daita Mikara, the Sefer Harei Kambati, so now, Rav Nachman's psak, the halachic Rav Shimon ben Menasya, would therefore be saying that you cannot mix water, even in a sefal, a klisheni, even if it's chamin l'toch tzonei. Isn't that what you said? So you're telling me, basically, that you cannot wash up on Shabbos. That's what you're saying. I thought we were matir, pun of yada v'ragolim, at least. That was the minimum. According to you, there's no way to mix water. So you're telling me that the Shabbos rechitz of a kamin lekha? Basically, there's no such thing. That's what Rabbi Yosef was thinking when he answered a sink, a basin. There's no such thing as rechitz of a kamin on Shabbos. That's outrageous. No, you misunderstood the psak over here of Rav Shimon ben Menasya. Rav Shimon, not Misa, but Rav Shimon ben Menasya, a seifakoi? Did you think that Rav Shimon ben Menasya was talking about the Sefer, where we said that only Chamin Atoch Tzonin is Mutter, and he, in that case of Ambati, he's coming along and saying, no, even that case is Osir, in which case Rabbi Yosef would be coming along and saying, and it would also be Osir Ben Sefer. None of the above is true. He was basically going back on Beit Hillel, Aresha Koi, where Beit Hillel was talking about the Kli Rishon, and Beit Hillel was Meng Matir, Bein Chamin Atoch Tzonin, and Bein Tzonein L'Tocha Chamin, and there he comes along with Shimon ben Menasya to clarify that no, actually Beit Hillel, as we'll see, this is what he means, Beit Hillel never was Matir Tzonein L'Tocha Chamin, but certainly the Chamin L'Tocha Tzonein isn't what he was referring to, in which case there was never a problem with the Psak of Shimon ben Menasya and having hot water on Shabbos as long as it was in a klisheni. Wait, so are you saying that Rav Shimon ben Menasya holds like Beit Shammai? I mean, that's essentially what Beit Shammai said. Beit Shammai said that notin adam chamin l'tocha tzonein v'lo tzonein l'tocha chamin. So then when Beit Hillel came along and said, no, it doesn't matter which way you do it, and then Rav Shimon ben Menasya said, well, no, wait a minute, you can't do tzonein l'tocha chamin. So then basically he's saying that, well, we got to stick with Beit Shammai. Is that how he's positing? So the Amak of Beit Shammai, no. Hachi Kama, he's saying that the way that you just reported Beit Hillel's da'at is a mistake. And lo nechlepu Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel, but there never was a machlokas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, about whether you'd be allowed to pour tzonein l'toch chamin. Even Beit Hillel was murdered, you can't pour tzonein l'toch chamin. I got to tell you that I watched Rava carefully, and he never seemed to be mocked one way or the other. Minatani Rabbiya, his source was that since it says in the Braita of Rabbiya, Notein Adam Kiton Shalmayim, the Tok Sefer Shalmayim, Ben Chamin, the Tok Sonein, Ben Sonein, the Tok Chamin. So he saw that Lamaisa, the Braita, follows the Das of Beit Hillel according to the way we said it, not the way that your Reb Nachman is claiming Reb Shimon ben Manasseh is correct in Beit Hillel. Amalei Ravuna, Ravuna said to Rav Asher, I don't see how that proves anything. That case is not a case of mixing water. That case is a case of immersion of a vessel of cold water into hot water. It's not the same because, I mean, you have the walls of the kli that are mavil between the water, the cold water and the hot water, so that if the whole problem of tato davar, anyway, is that it has an impact, that it's all very nice, but that impact is lost on the walls of the kli. Maybe that's the reason that Rupiah Paskin met. How does that show that you have a right to actually go and mix the cold water directly into hot water?
They never opened the ketone?
No. Well, that's what it sounds like. It sounds ketone shomayim, the tok sefer shomayim. It sounds like you're taking the ketone and keeping it stoppered or floating and putting it into the sefer to warm up. This is actually the case of baby bottle. And it's quoted all the time in terms of the shayla of the baby bottle. First of all, there's the question of whether the baby bottle situation, according to Rashi, is hatamana. Because it's immersed and hidden by the side thing. But here, this would exactly be the case of the baby bottle, which one I says mutter.
Hatamana and liquid.
Hatamana and liquid, which we had before the Silon of Chametz Tveria. Not according to Rashi. That's what we've been talking about all along. That's only Tosis' thing.
You appreciate
it. So Rav Ashi told Rav Huna, I'm sorry, but that was a misquote. Ma'are itmar. Actually, the bride has explained as not floating, but pouring. Ma'are adam kiton shamayin letok sefer shamayin, bein chamin letok tzonein, bein tzonein letok chamin. Which means based on that braita, Beit Hillel essentially is the way we had him. And therefore, Rav Elamaisa was saying that it really doesn't make any difference. As long as there's no problem with Bishol Biklal in this klisheni. Now this is how Rashi learns. As I said to you, Tosha doesn't like this whole approach because he doesn't see that there's room for tata gavar issues here in this sugya. He says that the problem over here is simply an easy way of referring to the norm. The norm is that the thing that you're attempting to change the temperature is being poured into the rove. So in other words, if you're pouring in chamin into tzonein, that means that you've got a lot of tzonein in a container. Now you're adding chamin to it. So there, the Gemara is simply saying it in that way to indicate that your interest is not in heating something to a point where you're going to make it actually yahtzeh lettuce, right? But it isn't really a question of tatogavar or ilogavar. For that matter, it isn't even actually a specific amount because clearly it's going to be dependent on the temperature. I mean, if you've got something that's room temperature and you're putting something that's scalding hot in it, that's going to talk about different amounts. If you have something that's ice cold and you're putting something that is hot in it. So again, the Bir Halacha speaks out. It does this, even though the Maisa we don't really paskin particularly, but we're machmer in any event. What's the need for the word ketone in the other case?
It seems that it's a specific vessel versus, Lara Mai. Why
this has nothing to do with the discussion, Tosas. You're 5 minutes behind, you mean? It's talking about.
In a way, it's hoping that it would be clarified.
Yeah, but it's a little bit disturbing when you throw in something that has nothing to do with the conversation that we're at. You talk about it afterwards. But the ketone and the cephal is a reference to usage. Remember, the cephal is talking about something that's used for rechitza, and therefore would be warmed. The way Rashi is learning it would be warmed to very hot. Hashem came, the ketone is the thing that you're going to generally be drinking from. So it's just the way in which we refer to it's the usage of klisheni versus klisheni really is the way we use it. But so therefore, according to Tosfos, it's only a question. Chamneto sonein is because the sonein would therefore be the rove. Again, rove being defined also by the relationship to the temperature of what you're pouring into it. But it really has nothing to do with its position. It doesn't matter whether it's on top or the bottom. If you poured a lot of stuff in at something at the bottom, it would be exactly the same thing. Okay. I mean, there's other issues that Tosfos has with this too, which is his ambati. He learns that the ambati is also a klisheni, because again, according to him, the issue here is not kli rishon and klisheni and bishul. It is intent. How hot do you want to make it? That's really the issue. But that's all that we're talking about, according to him. Who's going to do our Zohar Halakha Mishnah? I will. Zohar Halakha Mishnah. Ayuf is fakidera. Shehaviran brutachin. Lo yitein letokhan tavuin. If you're talking about a kli rishon that you took off of the fire, so you have now your stew pot or your top shell pot, you take them after they've been boiled, and now you set them down. Lo yitein letochan tavlin. You cannot put on Shabbos into a kli rishon something that could be cooked on Shabbat, because a kli rishon will cook as long as it's hot. Avon notein letocha ka'ara. You could, however, put tavlin into a ka'ara. So your ka'ara would be, let's say, your large serving bowl, which you pour the contents of the pot into, or l'toka tamchui, which is a very a giant bowl that you could take a whole ilfa support into. But the point is that would be a klisheni. So there you can actually add, directly into the klisheni, you can add the spices. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, l'kol u'notein chutz midover sheyesh bo chometz. Now, it's not clear whether he's saying even in a kli rishon, and therefore he's coming to be matir, and he's saying, no, it's actually okay to put into a kli rishon as long as there's no vinegar in it or fish brine in it that helps it to cook even though it's not on the fire, or whether Rabbi is coming to be machmer, and he's saying, wait a minute, you can't always put into a kli sheni, meaning the ka'ara, the tamchoi that you referred to. If the ka'ara, the tamchoi, also has sharp ingredients in it, salty ingredients in it, then you'd have to be machmir, because even a klisheni could be mavasha. And Gemara is going to clarify Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Rabbi Yehuda, a reisha koi? Was Rabbi Yehuda going on the reisha that was referring to the ilfus, which is now the kli rishon, and he's saying, no, it doesn't matter, you could actually put something into that ilfus, if you want to, as long as it doesn't contain the something that's going to make it cook faster, such as the vinegar or the tzir. So then he would be saying, of course, a tremendous kula, that there's no problem, actually, of cooking in a kli rishon normally. O dilma aseifa koi v'lachumra. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda was saying, even your heter of using a kli sheni actually is only correct if the klisheni doesn't include vinegar in it. But if it has things like vinegar or fish brine, no good. By the way, you should just know that Tosfos learns that the heter on this tzad is only on tavlin. And the reference is to tavlin, and this is actually how we paskin, the reference is to tavlin that are difficult to cook. Difficult to cook. So, in other words, if you have unground tavlin, so basically hard pieces of wood, you're going to have pepper. You're going to cook pepper. to cook pepper in a kli rishon that's not on the fire, it doesn't happen. And so memela, he's being matir, but not normal foods. The Mishnah specified pavlin for that reason. Masha Enken, and this Rav Shlomo Zalman pointed out that today all of our tavlin are actually ground, so they may even be kalid vasha, but certainly not more difficult to be mivashel. At least that's a possible assumption. Nafkaminas would be in you know, cases such as we mentioned, the idea of Yad Nichvedbo, which is a Yerushalmi invention. The words don't appear in the Bible. But there, where you have the temperature is so hot that you would actually scald an adult hand on it. So there's no difference if it's a klisheni. So the question is, and Lamaisa, even though we don't paskin the mikra adin, it's a good idea to be machmir, many of us can say, on if it's that hot, even on a klisheni. However, those things that are not clear mit, that even they would have to be in a kli rishon, you'd have to be machmir. That already they're making on. So the nafkamina would be to put tavlin, let's say, into a boiling hot soup bowl. So you wouldn't have to be cheshish, and you'd be able to add it, perhaps. You know, because at least that much, it's saying over the tavlin are more difficult to cook. We have the same situation with salt later on, as we'll see. So in any event, we don't have, from the Mishnah, an obvious raya, do we, as to whether he's referring to the reisha and going lakula and saying you can put tavlin into a kli rishon, or he's talking about the seifa and he's going lakula and he's saying you can't put tavlin into a kli sheni if it contains these other ingredients. Tashma, we can bring a raya from the braita. Titania, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lakol ilfasinu noten, lakol akideirot rotchotu noten. Here he says beferush. You could put it into the kli rishon, ilfas or kedera, or kli rishon. Chutz midavar sheyesh b'chol metzvetzir, which means that he's telling us lekula, and that certainly, as Tosfos explains it in a reference to tavlin specifically, that a kli rishon will not be mevashel, something that is difficult to cook. So we have, that means, according to this, three levels. We had certain things that were easily cooked, the kale bishul. So we had before cases of kale bishul that could even be cooked with an iroi, which means it doesn't even soak in the water. You just pour the water over it. And the kulias aispanin and so on would be even from an iroi of a klisheni. So you had dag hamaliach hayashan. That's one extreme. The other extreme is that you have something such as tavlin that won't even cook in a kli rishon, which is not al ha'esh. So when we give these general guidelines about kli sheni eino mevashel or a kli rishon is mevashel, machlokas about iroi from a kli rishon, we've mentioned before the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, that an iroi of a kli rishon has the same din of a kli rishon. Again, all of those things are general rules, but we need to know where we have our yotzim min hakol, because there's some things they have to be more makra, and some things that in places you can be more makra on.
Do you see two different types of heat of tzar there?
I don't know what you mean.
The heat of the tzir and the regular heat of the unit. So therefore, the two.
I don't know what the unit. I don't know what the unit is.
In the pot, the kli rishon had this tzir or chometz in it. It was a kli rishon with regular heat. Plus the heat of the tzir, the
when you're saying the heat of the tzir, you're talking about the caloric content of the tzir.
No, we're talking about the
whatever it is that the tzir does to. Yeah, that's exactly
the
what we're talking. Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what he's saying. Amalei Abai. Sover Rabbi Yosef Lamima. So Rabbi Yosef took from this, if you're talking about tavlin, I mean, the most important tavlin of all is certainly melach. So melach or yoke tavlin, I mean, to cook salt, it would also be a din just like these things. A kli rishon, it could be mevushal. But in a klisheni, it certainly would never be mevushal. And Omar Abaye, well, I don't know. There's a price that says just the opposite. Tani Rabbi Chiya Melach Einan Ketavlin, and actually Melach is easier to cook than the klisheni nani v'shela. You could cook salt even in a klisheni. Now this is pleaded of Rabbi Nachman. Yomar Rabbi Nachman, Tzricha Milcha Bishula Kibisra Zetura. Rabbi Nachman said, if you want bishul to affect salt in any way, it's got to be cooked the way the basar of a shor has got to be cooked. So in other words, it's got to be cooked for a long time on the fire. But meanwhile, the Gemara's implication is that the basar of a shor doesn't cook in a kli rishon. Because otherwise, it's not a very good comparison, is it? So in other words, if you would take a piece of meat, a large piece of meat, put it in a kli rishon, it's not on the fire, it won't be mevushal. Otherwise, the comparison would make no sense.
Cooking the salt itself, not the salt aspect of the
ability
to cook.
No, the salt itself. Vikri Amri, Sav Reb Yosef Lameir. Now, the other Lashon has it just the other way. That Reb Yosef thought that Melach Reb Ketavim the Bikli Rishon B'Sheva Bikli Sheni Lo B'Sheva. That Reb Yosef actually, he thought that Melach is Ketavlin and will not cook in a klisheni, to which Abaye said that actually, Tani Rabbi Chiya, Melach ain't a Ketavlin, to the kli rishon nami lo b'sheva, which is the opposite of what he said before. In the first Lashon, Abaye said that the Brais Rabbi Chiya was Polig al Rabbi Nachman, and that the Brais Rabbi Chiya said that Melach will be Mevushal even in a klisheni. According to this Lashon, Hainu, to Rabbi Nachman. Actually, the way that Abaye was now quoting Rabbi Chiya is exactly what Rabbi Nachman said. That Tzricha Milcha Bishula, Kivisra the Torah. And that you'd be able to be Mekil on Melach. Now, on our Melach, there's Bechlal no problem. Because our Melach is actually Mevushal. The processed Melach is already cooked. Yeah, apparently the crystallized salt is apparently all cooked. I mean, this is what I'm told. I don't know, maybe some new.
Whether it comes from the yard or whether it comes from the mountain, the source of the salt.
I didn't see it. I mean, there was a scandal lately about this issue. I don't know. Yeah, that I heard about chometz I heard, but I didn't hear any recent rumblings about the kashrus of salt, or, you know. Okay, that could be, I don't know. Wait, okay, so bottom line on this, we're coming up with a structure that takes us from kli rishon al ha'esh to kli rishon that's not on the esh, down to an Iroy of Kli Rishon, to Kli Sheni, then a question of Iroy Kli Sheni in some very rare cases of Kalei Lehit Vashel, and then perhaps to the Kli Shlishi. The question is whether there really is such a thing as a Kli Shlishi. The truth is that it never appears anywhere. But there's a common, I mean, maybe a myth, but there's a common assumption that it's certainly okay to cook in a kli shlishi. To put tea in a kli shlishi, actually, the Mishnah Berurah baskets like this. To put tea in a kli shlishi. The problem is that it doesn't say anything anywhere about a kli shlishi. The Chazon Ish holds that a kli shlishi is a myth. There's no such thing.
Same as a kli
shlishi. Yeah, if it's not a kli shlishi, what's the difference? If you move it down many places, I mean, once it's cool, but if it isn't cool, it's no different than the Kli Sheni. The Orach HaShulchan, by the way, says the same thing, which is why many people are mocked not to use tea bags on Shabbos. The cloth is to make the sense of the tea before and then to mix something which has already been cooked. Then there's that other problem that we spoke about, which is the Yerushalmi about Yad Nichveit, which is already a chumrah as well, that is kedai to take, because we don't paskin like that, because it doesn't appear in the Bavli anywhere, the difference between Yad Saletet Bo and Yad Nikvet Bo, but nonetheless, the poskim generally advise to be machmir. However, most say you don't have to put these skumras together, you know. So in other words, if you want to be machmir, let's say on the melach, you know, don't have to be machmir a kli shlishi or niyad shenichves bo and so on. In other words, enough is enough.
Machmir on a kli shlishi, even if it's
exactly. Although the truth is, there are some shitas hold you can't make any distinctions once it's yad nichves. But is that the point of yad nichves is that we're not interested in the kli. We're interested in the temperature rather than the heat content. Because once it's that hot already, so it's not going to make any nafkamina, because but whatever kli it's in, it has enough, the temperature is enough that you have enough energy to heat the kli and then to go on to eat what's inside the kli. So, but anyway, look, there's always room for chumras if you're looking for them. But that's the basic approach. We'll go over it as Rav Hashem in our review. Much work. Want to try that again? Not bad. Not bad at all. En lo tnin. Kli tachat haner. Now here we're moving on to a new sugya. The sugya over here is not clear what it is. There's two possibilities in how to understand this mission. One issue is called mevato kli mehekano. Now you're not allowed to take a kli which was usable on Shabbat and because you're putting it into a position where it's going to have muktzah in it, and it will now be the basis for that muktzah, you won't be able to use the kli any longer. No, not necessarily, but you can't put it there in order to collect muktzah. Why? Because at the moment that you do that, Rashi has a very interesting explanation. The moment you do that, you might as well have hammered the kli down. Because you're not going to be allowed to do it, right? Are you allowed to hammer a kli down with a nail on Shabbos? You agree that you're not? How about could you glue it with super glue? You can't glue it either.
So,
what's that? It's imaginary super glue.
You can't even move it with
a chenille. That's a separate question. It's an interesting separate question, but it's a separate question. Lamaisa, for all intents and purposes, and in most circumstances, you've now been mechaber this kli with glue, says Rashi. So here we have a virtual malacha. Fascinating idea. Okay? Another approach, which is entirely, almost the other extreme from Rashi, is that Chazal asered bito kli mehechano because of the fact that it's mamayed in onek Shabbos. We don't want you to lose your rights to use kelim on Shabbos. After all, we were very makel on dinim of muktzah in order to allow you to use your kelim. Since the original takana at the time of Nehemiah, we've brought things down considerably. So we don't want you to go around now and utilizing your kli in such a way that you're not going to be able to make use of it. Okay, but all day long you're not going to be able to take it now. That's another possibility. So that's one way of understanding the Mishnah now. Another way of understanding the Mishnah is the question of whether you can be notel something for a dover she'eno nital. When you are moving a kli for purpose of a thing which itself cannot be moved, that already is basically, again, this is my focus here, what the problem is. But it's a type of muktzah. Now, it may also be a type of tircha, according to Tosafot, which we'll talk about. But let's take a look at the Mishnah and see what the possibilities are. In notzin kli takat haner the kabel bo et hashemen. Let's say that you have a oil lamp. You want to put now something underneath that oil lamp to have any oil that drips down. It should fall into this plate. You can't do that. Ve'im natnu mi ba'od yom mutar. To do so during the day is okay. We don't have a chashash that you're going to do something else on Shabbos because of it. Even though, ein ayotin imenu, you can't use the oil that drips into it. L'fisha eino min amuchan. That oil was mukta machmas isur. Because that oil you weren't allowed to take out of the lamp, since the lamp was burning. So during the time that it's burning, everybody is made, even Rabbi Shimon is made, that at the time that it's burning, you can't take out oil. To remove the oil, for sure you can't, because it's mechaber, that's an issue d'oraisa. But once there's an issue d'oraisa, take it out. So there, even Rabbi Shimon is made that while it's burning, if it falls out, it's still considered to be mukta. The question of you is afterwards, when it goes out. Okay, so the Mishnah is saying, at that point, now you will have been mevatel the kli me'achonai. Well, it's the same type of thing. It's not nola. Where's the nola? What did it change? It was oil before, it's oil now. Omruv kista. Afo pisha amru im no tzin kli taka tarnigolet takabel beit satan. Now, here we get into our clear-cut distinction in the case. You have now a tarnigolet who is about to lay an egg. Now that is nolad. And you're not allowed to use that egg on Shabbos. The problem is you also don't want the egg to go rolling down into the street and break it. So what you think is a good idea is to take a pie plate maybe and put that tarnigolet in the pie plate, and that way that egg is going to end up ready for baking. So that's a great solution. Problem is that it says that you cannot put a kli underneath the tarnigolet. Now, again, are we talking about over here? I mean, it's mashma, but it's the same issue as the Mishnah, right? You can't put the kli underneath the dripping lamp. You can't put the kli underneath the tarnigolet. Aval kofer aleha kli shelo tishaver. But once the tarnigolet lays the egg, you can take something and cover the egg with it, so now the egg won't be able to roll away, or it will be protected. Now what this is saying is that a kli can be nital litzorech a dover sheino nital. Because as long as I'm not being levata the kli mehechano, I have no problem of being no to the kli for it. On my rabba, my time of the Rifkista, what's the logic over here? The logic is that Rav Kista holds Kosova Tarnigolet Asuya Lahatil Beit Sata Ba'ashpa Ve'ina Asuya Lahatil Beit Sata B'makom Bidron. I mean, even a chicken has got some intelligence, and therefore it's programmed not to lay an egg where the egg is going to be rolling away and cracking. That's a pretty good instinctive response. But a tarnigolet is not intelligent enough to know that this particular place is exactly where everybody comes to dump their garbage, and they're going to stomp right on my egg. That tarnigolet doesn't know. Therefore, Tainiz Rav Chisda. Okay? The norm is that you don't have to worry about the egg rolling away. Therefore, you can't be metalto the kli for that. But since if it lays an egg in an ashpa, you'd have to protect the egg by putting a little cover over it. So you can put a pot over the egg, and that's not a problem. So in other words, what he's saying is that hatzalah mitsuya itiru, and hatzalah she'ena mitsuya lo itiru. That Chazal were mad to you to move a kli when it's something that is a norm that you'd have to worry about, but something that you don't normally have to worry about to be metalto, a kli for that type of hatzola, since it's a dover sheino nito b'shabbos, you're not allowed to move the egg, you would not be allowed to move a kli to catch the egg. Now this is assuming, this analysis is assuming that our problem is moving a kli l'tzorech a dover sheino nito. The Gemara has so far not thought up the difference is in terms of being mevata kli me'echano versus being no tel a kli sholo l'tzorech a dover hanito, right? So we're assuming now it's all one problem. What is your right to go ahead and to move a kli on Shabbos for something that is not going to be able itself to be moved? That's the yisur. Now the shaila, so why were they matir the case of putting it over it? That's because that's a norm. Now Yotaina, Tosfos does. I mean, certainly the case in the Mishnah should be a norm, isn't it? I mean, lamps drip, so you'd have to worry about the oil. So why wouldn't they allow you now to be matzil underneath? And to Tosfos, because the norm is that people put kalim under the lamp when they light them. So therefore, why would we be matir for an idiot who didn't bother taking care of it before? And that part of it is in the matzui. It's not that tiftuf per se is not matzui, but that the hergel is that people put it while before they light. It's not something that you come to think of afterwards.
The chicken thinks slowly.
Yeah,
the
guy
doesn't know.
Yeah, it's there, of course.
Does the topic covering the egg become?
No.
You're allowed to remove it.
Yeah, but so we're not talking about that distinction now. We're ignoring the distinction of what happens to the kli. Later we're going to get to that. So therefore the logic, according to Rabbah, is in terms of Hatzalah Mitzuya versus Hatzalah Sheini Mitzuya. Eit ve'abaye Hatzalah Sheini Mitzuya lo itiru. You're telling me that you cannot save something that you weren't able to consider was going to happen. Vatanya Nishbro lo chavit shel tevel berosh gago. Now, tevel, you're certainly not allowed to use on Shabbat. And nonetheless, it says over here, you have, let's say, a barrel of wine. It cracks on your roof. And now the wine is leaking out. You can go and bring a container, put it underneath to catch the wine that's dripping. So, I mean, that's certainly not considered to be atzalah mitzuya, is it? And nonetheless, we're using it and nitel it for the tzairet of teva, which is not nitel on Shabbos. How do you explain that? The answer is the Gemara beguf echareti, b'shchicha d'paki. We'll have to say that the cases over there are talking about brand new, untested barrels, and there it's indeed atzala mitzuya, because such things very often crack, and memela they were matir moving the kli for this purpose. Eisve notnim kli tachat haner lekabel nitzotzot. How about this? It says that you can put a kli underneath a ner in order to catch little sparks that could, you know, little pieces of the wick that fall in it. Can make a little hole in your tablecloth and so on. And, I mean, over there, it's not so shchiach, is it? No, nitzotzot na meshchichi. That is indeed shchichi, and some wicks they make more drippings than you'd like, a fire, and therefore it's okay to do that. Eisve kofin ka'ara alaner shelo yeachez bikora. How does it say that you're allowed to take a pot and put it above a ner in order to prevent the roof from catching fire? Certainly that's not a very normal thing, that it should get that hot that you have to worry about the roof catching fire. Well, I mean, depends. If it's a dwarf's house, you'd have to worry, wouldn't you? I mean, so maybe it's talking about the Gechini, you know. Talking about like a really low house, the Shchiach would like them. Maybe over there, indeed, it would be the kind of thing that could happen all the time.
It doesn't put it out.
It just prevents the heat from going any higher. Okay, so far we're not ready yet to say the din of Mavata Klima Hechano. In other words, we're trying to fit everything into one particular set of Hatzola, that is the norm that we were Mavata. All right, how about the Chen Korah Shenishbera? Now, this certainly doesn't sound like a very common occurrence. If you have a roof beam that is cracked, so it says that you can take now your your bed, basically, the long part of your bed, and put it up against the roof beam to prevent it from falling in. I mean, that's certainly being mavato. I mean, being metalto the kli, litzurich, something that is a binyan here. I mean, it's completely also to be metalto. And nonetheless, you're saying that it's okay to do this on Shabbos? How do you explain that? Well, here too, it's talking about, apparently, kishurei charity, the avida d'pachin. This is talking about new korot. You just moved in. Obviously, I mean, the house is going to pretty much well collapse. Yes, I mean, it's talking about an Israeli kablan. And you just moved in, and so you have to expect the worst on every level. So, Mamela, it's very reasonable to be concerned about such a thing. Okay. How about notnim kli tachat adelet b'Shabbat? How about putting a bucket underneath a leaky roof? Yeah, well, it's also talking about an Israeli kablan, but they got it. That's talking about a brand new house. And of course, a brand new house is going to have a leaky roof until you get all the kinks worked out of the house. So that's what we're talking about. Rabbi Yosef says, no, none of this is what we're talking about. Actually, the issue over here is not because of the same issue that we have in our Mishnah, noting Kli Tachat HaTanugol and all of that. It's not because we're being metato v'davar she'eino nitel. It's because he's being mevato clay mehechanot. Our problem over here is this new concept of bitul kli mehechanot, and Rashi elsewhere, as Tosa Springs, says that that's a problem because it looks like soter. Rashi here says that it's because it looks like binyan, essentially, because you've now banged this kli in permanently. And again, there are other Rishonim who learned that the only problem is that you're ending up not using your kelim properly for Shabbat. We'd like you to have your kelim. Okay, so far we have two possible explanations. Tomorrow we'll have to, not tomorrow, right? Tuesday. This is tomorrow. Okay, so yeah. So tomorrow in Mirat Hashem we'll take a look at how now to fit the Mishnah into these two approaches. But again, the two approaches are, there's one issue of, can you be metaltel something where the whole purpose of that tiltel is for something which itself cannot be metaltel? And there's a shayla, we matir a hatsala under these circumstances where it wasn't something that is abnormal, it's something they would allow because it happened. And the other approach is, which we just started looking at now in Rabbi Yosef, is this new concept of mevato kli mehechano, in which case there's a tremendous difference between taking the pot and putting it over the egg, or taking the kara and putting it under the egg, something that we didn't. In other words, in order to account for the difference before we got to the din of mevato kli mehechano, we had to go through this whole thing about chickens and how they don't mind laying their eggs in some places but wouldn't lay it in other places. With this new approach, of course, we don't have to have any belief in chicken intelligence. Yeah, exactly. All right. That's that movie. What is that?
Chickens. There is